Hello, and welcome to Aquarium Dilemmas. I'm your host, Science Gal Aquatics. I'm Carrie, and this is my co-host,
Jesse, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of Aquarium Dilemmas. Thank you for tuning in on whatever podcast app you use.
Yes, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this exciting topic. We really do appreciate you listening in, so thank you.
And I think today's a really good one. It's something that we see a lot and just kind of wire some reasons that they're there and what's going on is just, and something we take for granted, really, bubbles.
Yes. And it's something that I have seen in my fish aquarium since I have kept fish aquariums, but it's, again, one of those things I really didn't put too much thought into. I just seen bubbles and moved on. And as I've gotten more experienced, I've learned a lot of things of just some reasons why there are bubbles in your tank. And I think 99% of the time they aren't harmful, but there are a few reasons why you can see bubbles in your tank that you might be a little bit more concerned with. But generally speaking, I think bubbles are something you do see very commonly in your fish tank, but they're not harmful for the most part.
No. And I think I'll just start at the beginning.
Yeah, we'll just jump right into it.
Of the easiest thing is you got a tank and most of the time, unless you have a weird tank, you're going to have more of a rectangular tank. So it's going to have a longer, bigger footprint for surface area for gas exchange, which that is ultimately, that is crucial in everything, nitrogen cycle, on and on. It just, I could go on forever.
Yeah, gas exchange is a really important part that keeps your tank healthy that, again, I didn't know too much about, but it can contribute in a way with bubbles. And it's something to think about, just the dimensions of your tank to know how much of that you have.
Yeah. And another little kind of, and there's some variables to this, but
yeah, there always are.
In water, normally it's accepted that there's 4 to 6% oxygen readily available in water, and there's some variations on temperature and different things that can cause it to go way one way or way the other, but normally it's 4 to 6%. So what do we normally do as fish keepers? First thing is you usually add air of some way, aeration or agitation of some way. So
I think it's the most common, the most frequent way to introduce bubbles to your tank.
Yeah. And normally it's usually by, I'll just start out with the most common, an air stone.
Yes. Yes.
So you're forcing oxygen into the water and it's causing the bubbles. Mm-hmm. And those are just, you're just oxygenating the water. That's all you're doing.
Yes. And I think, like, our goldfish upstairs can handle a little bit more, where some of the guppies and the betas, they don't enjoy a really high
flow
rate, whereas the goldfish can handle it more. So there's some, depending on the personality of the fish that you have, some fish can handle more. And some might like a finer bubble. I know they do have air stones that's a fine that I've used outside with the rice fish before. And some that they really crank. It's a high rate of those. It's coming out quick. So you do want to pay attention to if your fish likes the amount that you're putting in there. They might seem a little agitated. But generally, I think that an air stone, I always put them in the back corner, or like a, you can use them with a sponge filter, just anything that introduces air so you can oxygenate that water.
Yes. Well, and leading into that, the other thing that oxygenates the water that everyone has to do on a fish tank is water changes.
Well, and going back really quick to those type of bubbles that you do see, they pop quickly. They don't linger. And sometimes you might have a larger bubble that kind of goes and pops, or you might have a smaller bubble. It's kind of a different range in sizes, but they quickly pop.
They quickly rise to the surface.
They don't linger very often. Occasionally, they might linger to the glass for a few seconds, for a little bit, but they pop quickly. And well, that's what you want. That you want that to help with that gas exchange.
Well, and the reason it could linger by the glass or something like that, or maybe it hits a piece of decor before it comes to before it comes to top, is mostly where you have that specific airstone situated and the size of bubbles that airstone is producing.
Yeah.
Is one of the big factors. Mm-hmm. That's because there's so many factors that go into everything in aquariums. Mm-hmm. But with bubbles, the oxygen bubbles generally rise straight to the top and they pop.
Yes. And another one that you see, it kind of goes into what I think you're going into, but the micro bubbles, I think that's what I see the most, like the tiny little bubbles, and sometimes they cling to the glass, and you can see them on water changes, and especially newly set up aquariums.
Yes, that is
those micro bubbles, and like with bubbles, it has an affinity to cling to the glass, whereas like if you put water on wax paper, it doesn't. It kind of repels it. That those bubbles do have an affinity to kind of, it can cling to that glass. So as you're filling your fish tank up, your new aquarium up, you can see like lines of bubbles that will eventually go to the top and pop. But let's say you fill it up a third of the way and the bubbles rise and cling to the glass, then you fill up some more water and it rises up and clings to the glass. So that's where you see some of that micro bubbling with water changes, or especially newly freshly filled like aquariums.
Yes. You see that. And you can have it. The other thing, and I think almost everyone's done it and just not either realized it or then thought of it later, is when you're filling up your tank, whether the water is warm or cold, and if you don't match that temperature of water as close as you can, that will also cause a very large quantity of those micro bubbles.
We'll get into that too, I think, a little bit here in just a second. But you can also, when you're filling up a new tank, if you have decor, or like even in the substrate, when you're filling up those a water change and you switch something out, sometimes there's bubbles that just accumulate in that decor and you might not see it. Then all of a sudden you'll see like a big bubble just kind of bloop and come out. But that's from that water change or that freshly filled up tank. You can see those, but they're not harmful. And sometimes I think I do remove them, but generally speaking, I just let them rise and pop, but they're not harmful. But if you don't like them, because sometimes you just can't see through them, you can take a plastic card or your fingers if your hands are clean and just kind of rub on that glass and they'll float to the top and pop.
Yeah.
They're just teeny tiny little micro bubbles that cling to that glass and then they'll eventually rise up and pop.
It's trapped oxygen in the water.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And again, we were talking 4-6% usually is readily available. Well, it's just more oxygen trapped in the water.
Yeah.
And it's trapped up against the glass and it hasn't rose to the top.
And it's less dense, so it's just going to, they're going to rise. They're just going to naturally go up.
Yes, they will eventually. But yes, you can take something and wipe them off the glass of an old credit card or anything, and they'll just rise right up to the top and pop.
And then going back to, I think this is a big point, and this is one of the things that I think when I was researching this a little bit and learning more about it, that I probably did know about temperature and this somewhere in my brain, it was in there. But it became unlocked. And dealing with temperature, you can get more bubbles just naturally doing a water change from what water you're putting in versus what water you have, just from the temperature. Because here, well, you brought it up. So, I mean, if you want to talk about it, you can. But
number
depending
one,
on what the temperature is, it can hold more oxygen.
Well, going back to what I said earlier about the 4 to 6%, that's just generally accepted what they classify as. However, there comes a stipulation. Warmer water does not hold as much oxygen as colder water. So the higher you heat your tank, or the higher you heat that glass box full of water, can drop the amount of oxygen present in the water, hence the air stones and other things that you do.
Yes.
So when you're doing that water change, if you have a warm water tank and you're putting cold water in, or much cooler water than what's already present in that tank, will cause, and depending on the rate that you're putting it in, how fast you're pouring it in, could cause a massive amount of microbubbles.
Yeah. If there's a drastic swing, because that warmer water, if you, it's going to lose an oxygen molecule compared to the cold, because the colder water just can, it has the ability to hold more oxygen. So if you have a cold water tank and you're putting warm water in, you're not going to see as much. But if you have a warmer tank and you put cold water in there, you're going to see more of that microbubbling, because if that warm water is sitting in your tank and you put that cold water in, it can't hold that. So it's going to lose that oxygen molecule and you're going to see a bubble.
Yeah, lots of them usually.
And that's the exact same concept, too, if you turn on a heater. And around that heater, sometimes you can see, I wish I had a picture. If you remember, I would share this, but they're bigger. I don't want to say flatter, but they're just a bigger bubble that kind of just stays on the heater. And it's from the same concept, that warmer water that's around that heater can't hold that, like the colder water surrounding it. So it's going to develop that little bubble around that heater in your aquarium. Because it can't, it's until it gets, you know, evened out. But that sometimes if you turn on a heater, sometimes you'll see some bubbles form around that. And that's why.
Yes, that's another, and it's, again, it's just it's a not harmful bubble, but there are bubbles that you're going to see. And there's lots of different ways to achieve these bubbles. And I guess moving just a little bit further into that, kind of sticking in the same aeration and agitation situation. Another way that everybody aerates to a little bit of a point besides an airstone is your filtration. I mean, you're pulling that water out, you're putting it back in with the filter mechanically, and it's falling back in. So you're forcing oxygen back into the tank, which will also, everybody has commonly seen it, the height of your filter and how far the water's falling, you're going to see bubbles all around there.
And if you don't want to see that, just move your water line to where it's more even with where that water is coming out of your filter, and you won't have such a drastic drop, and it will cut down on the bubbles, because having it, your water line really low compared to where that filter output is, and having that splash is going to create that, like you said.
Well, and yeah, your filter, it does a lot more than that. It does all the...
No, just from the point of bubbles. Yes, your filters are very, very, very important, and it does a lot. And we've learned a lot. But for just the sake of bubbles, that just having that water line adjusted, if you don't like seeing that, or it's kind, you know, it's kind of noisy sometimes too, that splashing, just raising your water line up and making sure that it's perpendicular to your, you know, setting right, it's even, and that just having that little bit of difference, having that extra water in your tank can cut down on just that splashing and creating the bubbles.
Absolutely. 100% it can. Well, moving on to a little bit more, kind of starting to get in.
Well, and two, going, before we jump, I thought of some. If you don't have, if you don't have good aeration, you can have some bubbles too, because you can have a buildup of ammonia gas in your tank that you don't necessarily, you don't see it, but if your water, if you don't have it, it's real low, and you have a overcrowded aquarium or something like that, that gas can build up. It's dissolved in the water, but it can build up, and that can cause a little bit, it's more harmful to your fish to an extent having that, because you don't want ammonia in there at all. But if you have low to poor aeration and you start to see some bubbles pop up, or you have like that biofilm starting to form because it's kind of on the slower side or more stagnant side, and you start to see air bubbles kind of get trapped in that, that could be something to think about, have, because that poor aeration, yes, can cause that buildup to form, and then you can see little like ammonia bubbles pop up. And it's like I said, ammonia is bad, and do a water change. But if you're like, I don't have a lot of splashing, but I do have aeration, but it's really low. That's another point that I did want to bring up, that I don't see that a lot. I don't have fish gasping a lot at the surface for air. But if you do see that, but yet you still have little bubbles, that could be a factor, and it's on the harmful side versus the harmless side.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Well, and that leads in...
You talk better than I do.
That leads into what you were previously mentioning, was about like some sort of low flow, low aeration, and that water gets stagnant and set, you're going to have a buildup of basically protein is what it is. You're going to have, it's excess waste from, your fish breathing.
Are you talking about like the protein bubbles?
Yeah, protein bubbles, that skim film that can get on the very top.
Well, there's a difference between a biofilm and a protein bubble. And with biofilm, I see it in my, like, barely no filtration tank sometimes when I've been overfeeding. There's a lot of organic waste in the water, and there's different forms, but bacteria secrete things, and then it creates that a protein bubble. You see, it's like I see it when I turn on a fresh filter, like a filter I haven't turned on for a while or something, but there's a lot of organic waste in the water. There's not a lot of filtration. There's not a lot of aeration. But then when you turn that on, there's just this foamy, sticky, clumpy, small, tiny bubbles, but it's just clustered and it doesn't pop. And that's from just organic waste that's in the water that's dissolved, whether it's fish food, fish waste, decaying matter, just that. And then you turn on the aeration all of a sudden, and that protein or that film, that oily film, coats that bubble.
And doesn't
allow it to pop. But it comes from, usually in my case, I do see it if I have something, like I unplugged a filter and I didn't realize I unplugged it, or it got clogged and I didn't realize it. And then I go to turn it back on, or an airstone I turn back on, but I've been feeding and there's a bunch of fish in there, guppies usually, but I turn that back on. And it's not every time, but sometimes you turn that back on and it's just that foamy, sticky, tiny bubbles, and they're all clustered. But a biofilm, like, there's different things that contribute to a biofilm, but it's like the secretions of stuff that come together and that foam that create that things feed on. But I see that when I have no flow, no filter, no aeration, where these I see when I turn something on and I introduce something and it stirs that all up, and then it coats that bubble, and then it doesn't pop and it sticks together. But I usually just do water changes until it kind of solves itself. I've lost fish from it, but it's not been every time. It's not something like when I see, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose a tank full. but it usually does when I have lost a fish. It's I needed to do more water changes, but it's been like one. It's not, I don't think it's generally harmful if you just do your water changes, but to get rid of it. But if you don't, you could. It's a possibility I have, but it's not something that I've lost like my whole tank from, if that makes a lick of sense.
Well, it does. It's because you're having an overload of organics.
That's just dissolved. It's dissolved in the water. You can't see it, but it's there.
Yeah, well, you're being able to see it in that instance because you have an overload, and it's not allowing what we previously mentioned, that gas exchange. It's trapping that oxygen and those bubbles that need to rise to the surface to pop, to have that gas exchange, which happens in Mother Nature normally and readily all the time. It's not allowing that to happen, which can eventually, as you said, cause an issue. It's not necessarily, it can be, but it's not necessarily 100% immediately harmful, but over long term, it could be.
And I can't, with this, because it's got that just oily, like, it's just got that coating. Sometimes it's not as translucent. It's not just as clear as just an air bubble, an oxygen bubble. It's kind of, it's got like a sheen to it because of all that just protein, I guess. But they don't pop. It's just, it looks like a soapy bubble, but it's not. But again, it's just because that's coating that bubble and it just can't pop as easily.
Yeah, and I mean, that can be due to many factors.
Yeah.
Overfeeding, decaying matter, whether it be from live plants or whatever.
If you've got an overcrowded tank that you're overfeeding, you're not doing water changes, and maybe you've got a couple dead plants and or something's decaying in there, it's just all that organic matter that's dissolved into your water column that when I see it, it's because I've unplugged something, I turned something off and I didn't realize it, or something's been turned off for a little bit because I'm switching something around and then I turn it back on and all that aeration stirs that up and then it all comes to the top. And then, like I said, it's not something that when I see it, that I'm like freaked out about it. But if I don't take action and I don't do a water changes and I don't help solve the problem, you can lose fish from it. The one that I'm thinking, it's got tetra in there and I have all the tetra that's in there. I lost one, but that was my fault completely. But that is something that you do see from occasions, and I feel like I've heard people talking if it's harmful or not. It can be if you don't help solve the problem, but that's a different type of bubble that I was like, oh, okay. When you see it, it's just like, that's a lot. It's just foamy.
Well, and to lead into that with what I was talking about, the biofilm on a stagnant type tank that does not have any agitation along the top of the surface of the water, and it causes that stagnant film to build up, that in itself, you will notice, can start to be harmful as well, because again, you're not allowing that gas exchange when either whatever bubbles are trying to rise to the top,
they get trapped
and they can't pop.
Yeah.
So in that sense, you need to add some sort of agitation, which by doing that, you're going to add oxygen to the water regardless.
Yes.
Whether you are doing it willingly or unknowingly, you're still adding oxygen to the water.
And even just fish, the way that they breathe can have a little bit of bubbling. You can see a little bit of bubbling to your tank. It's not something that I've see like often by any means, but that just the water coming in through their mouth and going passing through their gills, that oxygen gets in their blood and then they release CO2. Even that, if you have an overcrowded and it's just that's just another way sometimes bubbles can be introduced to your tank, but that's a CO2 bubble and you want that to dissipate out. So having that gas exchange is really important so that does not get trapped in your tank. And again, like plants and things like that can use that and utilize that, but you don't, you want your gas exchange. You want that to happen.
Yes. Well, that was why I was kind of being mm-hmm. hard hitting on the agitation and like the biofilm and stuff, because the biofilm is made up of a lot of things, but mm-hmm. it's basically a protein overload.
Yeah.
And it can be comprised of many different things.
Yeah, and like I said, I usually do see that with my lower flow tanks, and then I see the foamy bubbles when I go from that to a higher flow. But another, I think that one of the cooler things in your aquarium that you see bubble-wise is purling plants. That's it. I think one of the coolest ways to see bubbles introduced to your tank is just when you see your plants purling. And when I mean purling, it's from photosynthesis. Usually your water's oversaturated with oxygen already, so your water doesn't need it, so it comes out as bubbles in your tank or off your plants, and it's really cool to see plants purling.
And it really does look like a little tiny chain mm-hmm. of pearls rising mm-hmm. towards the yeah. surface, one behind another, going yeah. straight up. It is, and well, as we're actually even doing this
or watching, podcast,
I am watching a tank purl right now.
But it doesn't always have to. I think it's the coolest when it kind of goes up in like a little chain, but you do see it where it just sets on the leaf too. And I think those bubbles are a little bit larger. Like you can't see it on, but over there, they just kind of set on the tip of the leaf throughout, and they're just a fatter bubble. Whereas purling, sometimes it's a little tinier of a bubble, but it's just an your tank's already oversaturated with oxygen. And so your plants take in CO2 and they breathe out, they release oxygen, but since it's already saturated, it's just comes out as a bubble and goes up to the top.
Well, and since you are the queen of it, there is mm-hmm. something else that grows in your tank that can produce oxygen, mm-hmm. and that is your favorite friend.
Algae. Yes, algae can purl too. But I will have to say that when it comes to algae, if it's a dead algae or a brown algae and you see that, that's more of an ammonia bubble and you don't want that. So you do want to, again, just remove all that dead plant matter out of your tank so you don't have that type of bubble. But sometimes algae, if it can do that too. But it's prettier when you see your plants do that, for sure. But you can have fake purling, too, where you do a water change, like a big water change, and you oversaturate the water with oxygen just from, like, what we talked about earlier. And so that can kind of trigger it. And I they call it fake purling, but not all plants that I have I seen pearl. It's usually the Vallisneria that pearls like all the time. And it's a good sign that your plants are healthy. But if you don't see that, that doesn't mean that your plants aren't healthy either. But yes, algae can do that. Algae can produce bubbles too.
Well, since we
especially
know,
like if you like sometimes I get algae at the top of the surface. And it's real close to the light. It has just big fat bubbles and they don't purl and stream up, but they just kind of sit in that cluster of algae. And when I see that, I usually just during maintenance, I'll just remove the whole thing. But you do see bubbles in that too.
Well, yes. Since if you listen to this podcast, you know that Science Gal is the queen of not wanting to be on a permanent schedule with her lights.
I try. I have made drastic improvements and don't make it sound like I'm awful because I have done
you're
a
not,
lot better.
You are not awful. But still. You're not awful.
Having a proper light cycle to trigger healthy photosynthesis and respiration is just do that. Just do that. But depending on your substrate too, sometimes you can see some bubbling in the sand tanks. If you haven't, if you don't have something that sifts through, like Corydoras are really good at shrimp. I have shrimp, something that just kind of helps. If you do a water change and you hit a spot in that, if it's a deep sand substrate and you see bubbles float to the top, those aren't ones that, I believe it's sulfur gas, if I remember right. I could be wrong, but I believe it's sulfur gas. You just, that's not something you want in the tank. I haven't lost anything. I think I've seen it a few times. Just, I needed to pay more attention on what I was doing when I was aquarium vacuuming my sand substrate, but I just continue with my water change. And so I just try to get it out, but you can see bubbles every so often. If you don't have a, if you have a deep sand substrate and you kind of vacuum too deep and you disturb that, you can kind of release that. I haven't seen it often, but I know that I have seen it throughout the years of my sand substrate tanks.
Well, on a deep substrate type tank, mm-hmm. you can have all different types of things trapped down in yeah. that substrate because it relies on the breakdown of everything in the tank mm-hmm. and what minerals have broken down either in your water or mm-hmm. in that substrate, causing whatever bubble it may be, mm-hmm. sulfur, whatever, to be trapped in there. So when it is disturbed, it obviously mm-hmm. will rise to the top.
Yeah, there's different
and
types.
And that's where
of,
you want that exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, I always forget how to pronounce it. There's anaerobic and anaerobic. I just can't pronounce it, but one requires oxygen and one don't. And if that,
you have anaerobic and aerobic respiration.
And if it is deep enough and you disturb that, that can bubble up. And yeah, it's just, it's not something you want to accumulate. Just, if you see it, do a water change. Usually when I do see that and I'm being, and I just, I'm in the process of doing a water change. So I just continue what I'm doing and try to be more careful next time. But yeah, you don't want that.
Well, moving on.
Mm-hmm. This is the fun one.
Well, there is a lot of fish that do this. There's one that we,
it's the only one that I've personally kept that does this, but there's a few out there that do.
Is little bitty tiny bubbles, bubble nests.
Yeah, bubble nests. That can be a reason why you see bubbles in your tank. And if you have a male betta, you'll probably see it. And it's kind of fun watching them build them, but it's not harmful. It's a natural thing. It's not anything at all to be concerned about. And like I said, it's kind of fun to watch them build it, but it's just little bubbles that stick together and they're just building their bubble nest. And if you had a female and you wish continue to breed, then they would utilize that for the offspring, the fry. But I've never wanted to breed them before, but it, like I said, it is fun when you come down here and you're like, oh, there's a bubble nest. It's just, it looks, it's cool.
Well, and again, going back to kind of the bubbles and the protein thing mm-hmm. is that is actually how they make the bubble nest. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice your bubble nests are always going to probably be in a low flow area mm-hmm. where there's not any agitation or aeration.
To disturb it, break it up.
Yeah, so it doesn't get broken up and destroyed. Mm-hmm. And they actually make those by using the saliva in their mouth, mm-hmm. which has proteins in it, which allows those bubbles to stick together. And that's why they don't float away and pop mm-hmm. unless they were to be disturbed in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, that's another like little, it's a little bitty protein bubble that is made by your fish, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool to see. It's cool to see.
Is the way I like mm-hmm. to think of it anyway.
Uh-huh. And then I think another, this is one that I don't have the most experience with. I've kind of switched, if I do have a problem in the fish room when and I need to medicate, my remedy has changed a little bit, and we might get into that in a different episode. But I know in the past, I can't remember what kind, and I can't remember like what brand or anything, but certain medications that you use can change the viscosity of the water and can cause bubbling. But it's not something that I have. I've just changed how I've done things a little bit to have better results. But if you want to use they're there for a reason, and just be aware that some of them can, it can cause bubbling, and it's not nothing, anything to be concerned about, because you're introducing the medicine for a reason. It just changes the viscosity of the water a little bit, makes the water a little thicker, and you can see bubbles from that.
Well, and it can also cause the bubbles to not pop as fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they just sit around a little longer.
Yeah, because of changing the viscosity, making the water actually thicker, it can hold those bubbles before they pop. The water will actually hold longer.
Yes.
But again, since you're using medication, there's a reason you're using the medication. So you're probably already going to somewhat be aware that it's going to change some things for a little while until the medication runs a cycle and you do a water change in the timely manner that is directed.
Yeah, however they're directed. I never dosed right, so I just have a little better luck using certain remedies like salt and catalpa leaves and things like that. But if you have a reason to use it use it as directed, because you have a sick, something going on, you've got to do something. It's just be aware that some of them can cause bubbling and some of them don't, and just follow the directions. Sometimes I think I was just a little too heavy handed, and then I would be under, I just didn't have the best luck. So medicines are difficult, and diseases are difficult, and I hope you never experience that. Hope your fish are healthy and happy forever.
Well, and the last but not least, and one that we have talked about before, is bubbles from cleaners or residue.
Soap, and that's one that, again, you'll probably see some kind of, if when you look through it, the bubbles won't be just clear, you'll have like that rainbow sheen to it, and that's that soap. And you never want cleaners or soap or anything in your aquarium, and you want to have clean hands, but make sure that the soaps are off your hands before you put your hands in the tank, because that's something that it could be like catastrophic if you have soap in your tank from some unknown. Just don't do that. But you can't have bubbles from that, but they're soap bubbles, so they have that rainbow sheen to it.
Yeah, well, and it leans towards soap, obviously. Glass cleaners, things of that nature, do not recommend using. They make plenty of good products on the market for aquarium glass that you can use on your aquarium, that you don't have to worry about overspray. And the other one that can cause a film is lotions. Don't be lotioning your hands up and then sticking them in the tank.
Yeah, you just don't want that. But the only other thing I think I can think of is, it's not, when I talk about, I have not experienced it. I haven't seen it in person, but if you do have too much aeration in your tank, it's just too much. There is a thing that's, I believe it's bubble gas disease. I don't think it's gas bubble disease. I think it's bubble gas disease. But you can start to see bubbles in your fish's eyes and kind of underneath their scales. They just look like they have bubbles on them. That's just a sign it's too much of a good thing. You don't want that. And again, I don't have any experience in that, but if you do have a fish and you have a lot of bubbles in your tank and you see that, just be aware that that could be a thing, but I don't think it's common. But if you have a small tank and it's just got, I don't know, 10 air stones in it, and it's just overly filtered, and you're like, that's just, it's just something to know that I didn't even know existed. But again, I haven't seen it. I do have air stones and sponge filters and everything, and I do have bubbles in my tank, but I have never seen that. But I just be aware that if you see that.
Well, and you have to be aware of your fish, the species of fish, mm-hmm. how big the fish is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to right there tell you a little bit of how much oxygen mm-hmm. that fish is going to require. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we mentioned it earlier, the goldfish, they can handle tons of oxygen. Mm-hmm. They absolutely, it doesn't bother them at all.
They swim through the bubbles.
That doesn't bother them at all. Whereas you got your guppies, they don't.
I would say the rice fish, when we had the rice fish, they did not appreciate it. And they like a really, I wouldn't, like no float, but a really light float. And we kept them outside. And there is a point when I was first hooking up their tank where it was coming out too fast. And they just, I don't know how to describe it, but you could just tell they weren't happy. They just seemed in distress. And when we turned that and got it adjusted right to where it was on, but it was just really light, they began breeding, and they just seemed happier. But like you said, the goldfish upstairs, they swim through the bubbles. They have a good old time in it. But it's just, again, it comes down to your fish, like you said, what kind you have, their personality type, and some just don't like it. Some really need it, and just know that sometimes too much is you don't need that much, but in other occasions you might. So it really, like you said, comes down to knowing what you're keeping and their needs, because you don't want to overdo it. You don't need 3 sponge filters in a 10-gallon tank producing all these high bubbles when you have like 1 betta. It's just they're not gonna enjoy it as much.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Well, and for the most part, bubbles are great, but bubbles can also let you know kind of what's going on in your mm-hmm. tank. That is the main goal of this. Mm-hmm. If you got the bubbles that aren't popping, there's a little bit of a film, then you're on, okay, well, maybe I got a little bit too much organic waste in here, mm-hmm. and I need to maybe kick up the agitation a little bit, do a water change. Mm-hmm. Just the bubbles are normally all 100% good for your tank. Mm-hmm. You're having gas exchange. That all that is awesome. That is what yeah. you want. That is Mother Nature working, yeah. just like it would outside.
Because there's a lot of things in the makeup of an aquarium that require oxygen that is very much needed, from your fish health to your plants to the bacteria that's living in your substrate. It's really important. But again, there's that happy place where it's, you don't want too much and you don't want too little, because having too little can be problematic too. You can have a buildup of carbon dioxide. You can have buildup of ammonia gas in there, and you need that aeration to help that gas exchange get that out. So it's just something that if you see bubbles and you know where they're coming from, you're like, okay, that's a healthy bubble. Everything's doing good. That's just from my air stone. But you come down here and maybe it's foamy, and you're, it just gives you another indicator of the health of your aquarium when it comes out of nowhere, or you just always have little fine micro bubbles at the top that are just kind of there, but then they pop. It's another indication that helps you with your fish.
Yeah, it's health. Just another little clue mm-hmm. that when you're watching your fish, enjoying your aquarium, If you see your plants purling, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You notice maybe the top of your tank starting to get a little bit of a film on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might want to, and you're watching the bubbles rise up, but they're not popping as quickly or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just a little nice indicator mm-hmm. that we take for granted. And if you're not paying attention to that long term, it could lead to problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's something that, again, I just, when I first started getting into fish tanks and going through everything and keeping them, micro bubbles is what I ran into first. I was like, oh, bubbles, okay, I moved on, and I didn't put any thought into it. And it's just another interesting aspect of fish tanks and keeping aquariums that I was like, I'm glad that I learned, because it really does help. Just be like, bubbles are good. They're not typically harmful in any way. It's something that really does help with the health of your aquarium. But there's those rare occasions that you're like, I should, you know, this needs to be addressed. And it's another something that I was like, I'm glad I learned that, because it's helped me a lot.
Well, I think it's a good indicator.
Uh-huh.
It's an indicator, and it's something that it's a good dilemma, because it's something we take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of
look past it. I guess I just look past it.
Well, and me being new at it, it's just something you kind of do as you're told. Well, you put the filter on the tank, or you put the Airstone in the mm-hmm. tank. You don't really think about it. You're like, oh, the Airstone's working. There's bubbles. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's working. Ta-da. Mm-hmm. Well, why is it working? What mm-hmm. is it doing? Well, it's putting oxygen in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to the top, and we're causing that gas exchange. All these things are little indicators that we just, for the most part, overlook, unless, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a super mm-hmm. hardcore hobbyist, you're way into it. But if you're just starting out, like somebody like me, that's mm-hmm. only been doing it a little while, a few years, you don't start to really dive into it mm-hmm. until later. And it's just a good little avenue to see whether your tank is doing awesome mm-hmm. or there's something you could do to help the tank.
Yeah, because there's more than, I just thought all bubbles, when I did put thought into it, were just from, they're just air bubbles. But generally speaking, a lot of the times when you see bubbles in your tank, yes, they're coming from the Airstone and the circulation in your tank and everything. But there are those occasions where they might be a CO2 bubble or an ammonia bubble or a sulfur gas bubble. And it's just something that you might not see it a lot, and it might not be something that you run into a lot. But just having that knowledge tucked in there and be like, huh, it's just something it's benefited me in fish keeping, because I not all bubbles are the same, and it's just something that I want to help share the word on it, because it's something that can be so overlooked, because it's just bubbles. And you hear that a lot from when we do the YouTube site on the live streams and meeting people at the conferences and just questions. The number one thing I think is, are micro bubbles bad? And they're not bad, but if you understand this, then maybe you can understand this, and then it can get you to the point where you're like, okay, this one's good. This one, I don't mind this, but this one, I need to stop overfeeding, because I'm causing protein bubbles. So helping you know that maybe micro bubbles are easily removed and they're nothing to be all that concerned about can lead you to just go into that wormhole of knowing, even though it's just a bubble, it can be a few different reasons. And they're not generally harmful, but there's always those rare exceptions that you're just like the protein bubble. I haven't lost a tank full of fish from that, but I have lost a fish that last time I seen it. So if I can just be like, hey, this is what's causing it, this is how you remedy it, this might be where it's stemming from, can help you in that situation so you don't lose that, I think is important. And I don't know everything. I don't claim to. listen to us and go read another article about it. But it's just something that I want to share because I overlooked it. And it's just something that I think people should know.
I do as well. I think it's something that's taken for granted. Mm-hmm. It could be a big game changer for somebody just getting into the hobby or that's mm-hmm. been in the hobby a long time.
Mm-hmm. But I guess kind of wrapping up, just kind of going through the list. What's the most common way of getting, of seeing bubbles in your tank would be?
I'm going to say aeration, agitation.
Yep. And then sometimes just the different temperatures of the water, whether it's cold water and you're adding in hot water, or you have hot warmer water and you're adding in colder water, or you're turning on a heater that can cause bubbles in your aquarium. And then the filter, just the output of the filter can cause bubbling, and then pearling of the plants from photosynthesis can cause bubbling. Your fish simply breathing sometimes can produce a bubble. What else? We got protein overload.
Yep.
We got bubble nesters. What? Just a simple water change can produce bubbles. So there's a few different things out there, and I just hope that we can help share the word and some of the reasons why you see bubbles in your tank.
Exactly.
But if you would like to watch this podcast, you can always sign up for our memberships over on YouTube on Science Gal Aquatics. And if you are a member and you're watching this podcast, thank you so much. And leave us a comment and let me know what you think.
Yes. And if you'd like mm-hmm. to check out any of the fish descriptions, articles, anything that we do keep, all that, mm-hmm. it's at sciencegalaquatics.com.
Yes. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this topic. I hope you've learned something. Hopefully Jesse explained things better than I did. But overall, I think this is something to talk about and to put some knowledge out there. And it's something that I'm glad I dove deeper and went down the rabbit hole of bubbles in your fish tank. So thank you so much. And until next time.
Until next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.